Last Sunday we looked at a very significant thought of the meat of the Word, which is the Word of God, in contrast to just simply the Scriptures. And the meat of the Word speaks of faith. And this morning I want us to reflect upon what faith is. I'm not sure exactly where we're going with this message, but we have some thoughts before us. And I want to read, beginning in Hebrews chapter 10, verses 34 through 39, and then also Hebrews 11, 1. Knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Cast not away, therefore, your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward. For ye have need of patience, that, after ye have done the will of God, you might receive the promise. For yet a little while, and he that shall come, and will not tarry. Now the just shall live by faith, but if any man draw back, my soul shall have no pleasure in him. But we are not of them who draw back unto perdition, but of them that believe to the saving of the soul. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. First of all, faith is a noun, it's not a verb. A noun names a person, place, or thing. And faith is really, is a noun, and it is a name of a quality. And so we find faith names something, and in chapter 11, verse 1, we find what faith names. I want to read verse 1 again. Now faith, the noun, is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. What does that really mean? By faith, I put substance to things that I cannot see, things that I read about in His Word, so that they become real to me. Things that have substance are real. When I feel the Bible, there is substance. I can see it, of course, and I can feel it. But faith operates in a different realm. Faith puts substance on things that I cannot see, so that I can touch it in my heart and in my thoughts. Not only does faith provide substance to things that I'm hoping for, but it also provides evidence that they are real. I provide evidence that this Bible is real when I pick it up and hold it in my hand. I provide evidence that this book is real when I read it and meditate on it. That's evidence that this is real and of value to me. Faith in the passage of Scripture that we've been looking at has to do with the promise and the hope. And in this verse that we read in verse 1, faith names the substance that the child of God hopes for. Faith names the evidence of the things not seen yet hoped for. We're talking about things that we are hoping for. A lot of times people want to say that hope in the Bible is a sure thing. But you and I know very well that hope is not a sure thing. When we're hoping for something, we may get it and we may not. And that's the same thing in the Bible. People want us to believe that something that just doesn't make sense about the word hope. An example of that is the woman with the issue of blood. She was sick. And in Matthew chapter 9, verse 21, it says, "And she said it within herself, if I may but touch his garment, I shall be whole." The evidence of the hope was touching the garment. And she would be made whole is the substance of what she's hoping for. And Jesus turned him about when he saw her, and he said, "Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith has made thee whole." And the woman was made whole from that hour. The hope that she had, that she put substance to, was being restored or healed. And the evidence was she pushed through the press of the crowd and touched him in a special way. The apostle said, "What do you mean, who touched you?" People were jostling him just like we are jostled in a crowd. I just happened to think about the crowd down at the Metrodome. We went to see a football game with the Gophers, and I almost got touched. Somebody had his hand in my back pocket. But this woman had hope of restoring, being healed. And the evidence of that faith was she went and touched his garment. In Romans chapter 10, verse 17, it says, "So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God," the word of Christ. Faith is built up when you hear doctrine concerning the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The doctrine of salvation is not the doctrine of Christ. The doctrine of salvation is milk. And it does not build faith like the doctrine of Christ or the Word of God, which pertains to the mysteries of Christ. And so New Testament faith comes through the hearing of the kingdom. In Luke chapter 8, verses 10 through 11, this is a bit of a review of last Sunday, where it says, And he said, "Unto you is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God," that is, the word of the kingdom, and you find that phrase in Matthew 13:19. "But to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they may not hear or understand." Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. What is the word of God? It pertains to the mysteries of the kingdom of the heavens. That is the word of God. Just to make sure that you're with me, in the Bible it refers to scriptures. All scripture is given by inspiration of God. But the Word of God is the butterfat that is found in the scriptures. And it's interesting how when you come into the light of something about scriptures and the Word of God and the butterfat, you start noticing things that you didn't know before or didn't notice before. I was having devotions in Romans chapter 1 this week. And in verse 2 it says, "When he had promised afore by his prophets in the holy scriptures." He was talking about Jesus Christ, or he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle, separated unto the gospel of God, which he had promised afore in the scriptures. So faith comes through the word of the kingdom, or preaching and teaching about the coming kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Now one thing about faith, it's very unusual, is that faith was kept shut up, kept in a closet, if you please, until the law was passed, or after the law. In Galatians 3:23 it says, "But before faith came, we were kept under the law, shut up unto the faith which should afterwards be revealed." After the Mosaic law, faith was revealed. In Romans, and of course somebody says, "Well, what about all the ones in Hebrews 11 who live by faith?" Well, that's a good question, because, you know, it says, "By faith Abraham did this, and by faith Sarah, and by faith Enoch." And the list goes on, many, in the 11th chapter of Hebrews, and we will be looking at those in the weeks ahead. But In Romans chapter 4, verse 9, it says, "Cometh this blessedness upon the circumcision only, or upon Israel only, or upon the uncircumcision also, or the Gentiles also? For we say that faith was reckoned to Abraham for righteousness." What was reckoned to Abraham? What was counted to Abraham? Faith. Abraham didn't know about faith. In fact, there's no word faith in the Old Testament. There's faithfulness, but the word faith is not in the Old Testament like we have in the New Testament. And so because Abraham put substance to the promises of God, and he behaved with evidence toward those things that had been promised to him by God. In other words, there was evidence that he, by the way he lived and the things that he did, and by the way he wasn't perfect, he fudged, he told things that weren't true about his wife. But anyway, God reckoned it to him. God gave him credit for it, is really what it amounts to. In Romans chapter 4, verse 20, it says, "He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in faith, giving God a glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised he was able to perform, and therefore it was imputed to him for righteousness." What is the it? It's the faith was imputed to Abraham for righteousness. What was the promise? Well, the promise included a child by he and Sarah, which would be impossible as far as their age and the functions of the body. That was just out of the question. But that was not the real promise. The real promise was that his seed would inherit that land, and that his seed would inherit a heavenly land. Because Abraham not only looked at the sands of the sea, but he also looked at the stars of the heavens, and Abraham saw two seeds. And that was the promise that God gave Abraham, and he staggered not at that promise. Now, it was not written for his sake alone that it was imputed to him, or faith was imputed to him, but for us also, to whom it shall be imputed to. In other words, faith. Again, if we believe on him that raised up Jesus our Lord from the dead. Here we have the word believe in the present tense. And by the way, I'm persuaded that believe in the present tense and faith, particularly in the participle realm, because this word believe is a participle, and participles are verbs that have been changed into a noun. So when you see the word believe in the present tense and the word faith, we have two nouns, or an adjective really, because sometimes participles can be adjectives. But anyway, the point I'm saying here is the ones who are faithful in believing on him, who is the word him referring to here? The Father. How is one saved? By believing on Jesus, the Lord Jesus. Now, here we're not talking about believing on the Lord Jesus. We're talking about believing on the Father, or believing the Father. What do we believe about the Father? His promise. What is his promise referring to? Not getting saved, but our inheritance in his coming kingdom. That's what the promise is all about. Because we can forfeit the promise. We can lose the promise. Because the promise has conditions associated with it. Okay? Because that's one reason why it says hope of the promise. Now, faith can fail. In Luke chapter 22, verse 32, he says, "But I have prayed for thee," that is Peter, the Lord is talking to Peter, "that thy faith fail not. When thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren." Paul prayed for Peter that his faith wouldn't fail. what? His confidence in what he had been taught over the past 3.5 years. That it wouldn't fail. Faith can fail. And if our faith fails, then we are going to miss what we hope for. You follow what I mean? If faith fails, or we quit living by faith, what we hope for will be lost. Not our salvation. Salvation is not based upon faith. The noun. Salvation is based on the verb believe. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. But if you apply faith to salvation, then you can lose your salvation. But what faith is being applied to is the hope of a Christian. And the Christian's hope is the hope of glory. The hope of approval. We'll see that in just a moment. In fact, Paul in 1 Thessalonians 3:10, he says, night and day praying exceedingly that we might see your face, that we might perfect that which is lacking in your faith. Our faith can be lacking. I just think about the disciples who were in the boat, and the boat was beginning to sink. And what was Jesus doing? He was taking a little nap. He was snoozing on a pillow in the back of the boat, and the boat was sinking. And in Matthew 8:25, it says, his disciples came to him and woke him up saying, Lord, save us. That's the hope that they had. We perish. And he said unto them, why are you so fearful? Did you know being afraid is a lack of evidence of your hope? When you're afraid, you're not producing the evidence of the substance of what you hope for. The disciples hoped that they wouldn't drown, but they could not. They were not sure they wouldn't drown, and so they did not put evidence to their hope. And the Lord rebuked them, "O ye of little faith!" In another passage of Scripture, no faith. They didn't have any faith. Then he arose and rebuked the winds and the sea, and there was a great calm. Now, in Acts chapter 16, we have a reference to salvation. In Acts 16, 30 and 31, it says, and the Philippian jailer brought them out and said, sirs, what must I do to be saved? And they said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house. There is no hope in this verse. When you receive Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, you are saved. You're in the family. That is a fact of Scripture. You don't have to wonder about it. If you genuinely accept Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and I'm convinced this, that if you don't know you're lost, you sure can't get saved. You have to know that your sins have separated you from God, and that you're dead in those sins, and that the only way that you can be saved is by accepting what Jesus Christ did on the cross for your sins. And when you do that, and by the way, this is a very interesting verb here. This verb is in the aorist tense. And the way you graph the aorist tense is with a dot. Believe, in this case, is an event. Not an ongoing practice. Where in the case in Romans chapter 4, the ones believing, that was an ongoing practice. That had to do with faithfulness. But let's continue. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2, it says, by whom also we have access by faith into this grace, wherein we stand and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. The hope of a Christian is the glory of the Lord. I think that we get the wrong idea about the glory of the Lord. We've seen so much artwork in the museums and in magazines of somebody's head glowing and a little round light circled above it. We associate the glory of God with a shiny light. I think what we need to do is to change our thoughts there. It has to do with honor, position. What is the hope of a Christian? I don't hope I'm going to be shiny when I get to heaven, so to speak. I don't want to just glow. I knew a man who glowed, and you know what they did with him? They put a sack on his head. And you know who that was? That was Moses. I sure don't want somebody to put a sack on my head because my face is glowing. But I do want to have honor in His coming kingdom. So I hope that I will have honor in His coming kingdom. What kind of honor am I hoping for? I'm hoping for the honor of a king. Remember, Jesus is going to be Lord of lords and King of kings. I want the honor of a king. I want the honor of a Lord. I want the respect that they deserve as part of the administration of Jesus Christ as He rules and reigns from the heavens in the kingdom. That's my hope. That is the hope. And we stand and rejoice in that hope through faith. Faith that accesses the grace that provides us with peace. In Galatians chapter 2 and verse 16, it says, "Knowing that a man is not justified by works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ that we might be justified by faith." The verb believe here is in the aorist tense. We got saved that we might be justified by faith. Future. My hope is to be justified. What does it mean to be justified? To be justified is to stand in His presence unchargeable. I don't want him to hear him say, "You wouldn't stop doing this, and you wouldn't stop doing that, and you wouldn't confess this, and you wouldn't confess that." You know what? He is charging us with lawlessness, and we have to deal with it with shame. I want to be justified. I want to stand in His presence approved. I want to hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant," and enter into the joy of the Lord. That's my hope. But you know what? If I make shipwreck of the faith, if I depart from the faith, that which I hope for will not be realized. Let's continue. In 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 1, it says, "Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of demons." If you depart from the faith, your hope is gone. There is no, if you don't have faith and you've departed from the faith, then there is no substance to your hope, and therefore there will be no evidence of that hope. You will not be living a life with the anticipation of that hope. And let me just say this, anticipating that hope means to live a separate, clean, holy life. Confession of sin, forsaking of sin, and a sinful lifestyle. That's what is essential if we expect to stand approved in His presence. So some will depart from the faith. Paul says, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them also that love His appearing." Here we find Paul saying, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith." What are these things? What is it that's going on in the life of Paul? These are evidences of what he is hoping for. What is Paul hoping for in this passage of Scripture? He's hoping for a crown of righteousness. And because he wants and he hopes for a crown of righteousness so that he can rule and reign in the coming kingdom, he has put evidence to that by continuing the warfare and finishing his course and guarding or being careful about the faith, making sure that he is continuing to put substance to the things that he is hoping for, and that he continues to put evidence to that substance by behavior or lifestyle. Well, there is the passage going back to Hebrews chapter 10, we find in verses 35 through 39 evidences of things that we're hoping for. In Hebrews 10:35 it says, "Cast not away therefore your confidence, which hath great recompense of reward." Confidence is evidence of faith. Reward is what we're hoping for. I hope I have some rewards when I get there. I may not, because it says, "Look to the Lord that you lose not those things which you have wrought, that you receive a full reward." I may not get a full reward. By the way, that's in 2 John 8. So here we are exhorted, don't cast away the evidence of faith. Put substance to the rewards that you're hoping for. Verse 36, "For ye have need of patience, that after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise." What is patience in this case? It's the evidence of the hope. Being patient, waiting upon God, is evidence of the hope that's before us. That after you've done the will of God, you might receive the promise. What is the substance that we're looking at? The promise. And what is the promise of God? Well, we have it defined in 1 John 2:25. And this is the promise. By the way, it has the definite article "the" in front of it. So it is speaking about a specific promise. And that promise has to do with life for the coming age. The word "eternal" would be better translated "age lasting." The word "ion" in the Greek language should have been translated "age." That's a noun, but that noun is used as an adjective. And so the best way I know to use the noun "age" as an adjective is say "age lasting," "age abiding," "age during." These are different Bibles that have translated it that way. So this has to do with life for the coming age, the millennial age, the kingdom age. In Hebrews chapter 9, verse 15, we see that the promise is not sure. "For this cause he is the mediator of the New Testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressors," rather than the transgressions, but the transgressors, "that were under the first testament," that is, the Old Testament. In other words, he's talking about the Jews that were under the Old Testament, and they were known as transgressors. "They which are called might receive the promise of the age-lasting inheritance." You see the word "promise"? It has the definite article before it. It's a definite promise, and it has to do with the age that's coming. It's the age inheritance, or in this case, the word "inheritance" has to do with reward. But the point that I want you to get here, might receive. We might not receive it. That is a conditional situation. We may or we may not. It depends upon how we put substance upon it and how we show evidence that we believe it. Well, I think there's more in these notes that I'm going to be able to get through today. But I think that I've given you enough information this morning to know that faith is something that we need in our life. It will produce great rewards. And it's something that we do not want to abandon. There's one verse of Scripture in Hebrews 11 and verse 6 that we need to have before we go. Hebrews 11:6 says, "Without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him." What is the substance of pleasing God? Rewards. He is a rewarder. That's the hope. And what is the evidence of that faith? Is diligence in seeking God. Diligence in seeking God. That's the evidence that you have a hope of reward. And we want, and we do not want to draw back from faith. We want to hear the well done. I'll just close with a couple of verses, let me just close with Acts 14:22. Paul was preaching and teaching in his missionary ministry and journeys, and he was confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to do what? To continue in the faith. You continue to please God. I want you to continue to put substance to the coming kingdom of our Lord and the rewards and the honors and the glories that can be yours in that coming kingdom. And then I want to encourage you to put evidence to that hope, that anticipation. And evidences of that hope and anticipation has to do with a holy life, a clean life. You don't have to read very much Old Testament to see, particularly after the book of Deuteronomy, or in the book of Deuteronomy, how important it is to God for a person to be clean. To be clean. The Lord said, if you just touch a dead person, you're unclean. You need to be careful how you walk. Because you can become unclean and you will lose the hope. Because when you become unclean, your vision of the substance becomes blurred. And then the evidence of that substance will diminish. May the Lord help us to be faithful in continuing in the faith. Father, I just pray that you'd bless the message to each of our hearts this morning. Help us, Lord, to respond to the need of being faithful to you and living in a way that pleases you by putting substance to things that are important to you and making them very important to ourselves. Help us, Lord, to put substance to those things and then evidences that we believe them as to be true, that we might live a life that would be found pleasing to you. Speak to our hearts this morning and encourage us in our walk with you. I know that you will be a faithful rewarder of those who diligently seek you. And we pray, Lord, you'd help us to do that in the days ahead. For it is in Jesus Christ's name that we pray. Amen.